WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's New York held hostage 1 month and counting. The state Senate stalemate began on June 8th. It is now July 8th. The most comical element today, the group of Democrats known as the Four Amigos, says if the full Senate doesn't end the deadlock today, they will end it tomorrow. That would probably mean Senators Hiram Monserrat and Ruben Diaz, who have voted with Republicans before but returned to the fold, might defect again, because they're in that gang of four amigos, along with Pedro Espada, who remains defected from the Democrats. Also today, Governor Patterson has requested broadcast airtime for an announcement on the deadlock at 5:01 p.m. this afternoon. We will carry that live. No word on what he'll announce. There's speculation that he'll announce the appointment of a lieutenant governor, who would then have the power to break the deadlock in the Senate. Of course, there is no current lieutenant governor because he was it and vacated the position when he took over as governor when Elliot Spitzer left. And we are awaiting a decision from a New York State judge, which could come today, on whether the state can withhold the pay of senators because they're not passing any bills. So all those things could happen today. And again, we will carry Governor Patterson's statement, whatever it is, at 5:01 this afternoon. But should the hostages, if New York is being held hostage, jeopardize public safety to pressure the clowns? The most dire consequence so far of the month-long farce is the inability of New York City and other localities in the state to enact the July 1st tax changes that they wanted to balance their budgets for the recession and for the new fiscal year, which begins July 1st. In the city's case, Mayor Bloomberg says it's costing the city $60 million a month. And as we reported yesterday, he's playing the public safety card, delaying the hiring of 250 police officers and hundreds of other public safety employees to balance the books and to pressure the Senate. Is this the way to go? David Weprin is the City Council Finance Committee chairman, generally considered the second most powerful council seat next to the speaker because he rides the greenbacks. David Weprin is also running in the Democratic primary for city controller. Councilman Weprin, welcome back to WNYC.
Always a pleasure to be here, Brian.
Is the mayor doing the right thing, withholding funds for police and firefighters to pressure the state Senate?
Well, you know, I wouldn't have chosen those cuts. There's certainly a lot of fat in the budget. There's, we're July 1st to July 1st. We're in a lot better fiscal situation than the state. We don't have a cash flow problem. Yeah, we are losing $60 million a day, but I guess another way to look at it is, it's just a question of there was a debate about whether we should do the sales tax anyway. There were issues about finding money in other ways. So we certainly could go another couple of months. Clearly it may be using it as leverage, but I certainly would not want to see any diminution of the police or fire. Certainly we fought very hard to restore those cuts in the engine companies. That was a major priority for the council. If it is just a ploy and try to get Albany to come to the table, I hope it works, but I certainly think there's a lot of other places we can find the revenue. We actually don't have the cash flow problem yet. We certainly can go probably another couple of months. If we don't have any sales tax increase, there will be a much larger deficit along the lines of $700 million, and then I think we'd have to think about, major other ways of raising revenue or cutting services. But I certainly would have public safety services as the last item on those cuts.
So we're losing $60 million a month if this continues, but you say we don't have the cash flow problem yet. But the mayor sounded much more urgent yesterday or the other day when he announced these cuts. So is he just grandstanding here?
Well, I don't know if the word grandstanding. You know, it's very frustrating from our point of view to be here and to have to rely on Albany. And, you know, it's just so frustrating. I spent the 4th of July weekend listening to complaints from my constituents about the Senate in Albany and what can I do to get them going. So clearly, I think the mayor is reacting, you know, to the public sentiment, to the frustration that we can't just sit back. We have to do something. So from that point of view, looking at potential revenue streams, looking at the issue, highlighting the issue is a good thing. But I certainly wouldn't choose public safety as the first cuts.
What would you cut first?
Well, you know, I'm going to get into trouble. Anything I say, we should cut. But, you know, I would look to the outside contracting budget. You know, our outside contracting budget in the city is over $6 billion. The Department of Education alone has over a $2 billion outside contracting budget. I think there's a lot of no-bid contracts. There's a lot of money that could be saved in the contracting budget.
Now, yesterday we had the Democratic conference leader in the state Senate, David Sampson of Brooklyn. John Sampson, forgive me. And here's a little bit of our exchange in which he said that even when the Senate gets back to work, he's not sure if he'll vote to approve the sales tax hike that the mayor wants.
You know, when we talked about providing a millionaire's tax, nobody was too enthusiastic. Now, the mayor wasn't too enthusiastic about that.
That got through the assembly, didn't it? Through the whole legislature, didn't it?
That got through the whole legislature, but it's the same at their level, at the city council level. They could do the same thing, too, instead of wanting us to push a regressive tax with respect to the sales tax.
So, Councilman Weprin, he threw that one back on you. He said city council could pass a millionaire's tax rather than this regressive sales tax. Do you agree with him?
Well, you know, there was a lot of sentiment in our conference in the city council for the millionaire's tax. I was actually not one of the stronger advocates for having an income tax because it's on top of a state income tax. And, you know, it's not really – it's easy to call it a millionaire's tax, but I think it kicks in, depending on the level, at $250,000 or $300,000.
Well, that's what the state version does. It kicks in at about $250,000 of income, depending on your family size. But you could make it a millionaire's tax so that it kicks in at $1 million.
Yeah, we could. But, you know, then again, at one point it becomes a disincentive, you know, for people to have their primary residence in New York. But it certainly there was strong sentiment in the council to have the millionaire's tax instead of the sales tax. We were actually told that the Republicans in Albany would have problems supporting, you know, the millionaire's tax as well.
Well, as we've heard from John Sampson and other Democrats who've been coming on during the stalemate, a lot of the Democrats in the Senate have some problems supporting this tax. And I don't think that there's even a guarantee that this is going to go through once the Senate gets back into session. If it doesn't, what position does that leave you in as Finance Committee Chairman?
Well, I think we have to go back to the table. And, you know, we routinely do budget modifications in the course of the year. It's not an unusual thing for us to do, depending on whether revenue is up, whether revenue is down. You know, we do a budget on July 1st, before July 1st, and guesstimate what the revenue is, and we very often do two or three budget modifications during the course of the year. So I would guess that this would be part of the budget modification process, and we'll reevaluate it. But I think, you know, the compromise that we did on the sales tax, because what we did actually was not exactly the sales tax that the mayor proposed. We actually exempted clothing and shoes under $110 from the increase, which, you know, we thought was significant because that really affected, you know, the lower-income, middle-class people. Necessities, we certainly weren't talking about luxuries when you're talking about clothing and shoes under $110.
Do you have a sense of unfairness here, though, that this is a way in which wealthy New Yorkers have everyone else over a barrel? They can most afford, and I understand a lot of people who make $250,000 feel that they're middle class in New York City. But if we're talking about a millionaire's tax, that they can most afford a tax hike without a change in their lifestyles. But the power they have means that poor people have to get hit harder instead with the sales tax.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were very concerned about the regressive nature of the sales tax. Also, you know, I was one of the leaders of the fight of the double-digit water rate increase, which certainly is affecting middle-class people. Property tax assessments having gone up, even though the values of the homes, because of the complicated formula that they use and the cap, that they can actually have some leverage on the assessing the formula. It's complicated, but the bottom line is some people's homes are going down in value, but they're actually still paying more in property tax, and that's having a tremendous negative effect on the middle class in the city. So fees are going up, you know, the tickets for so many different things. You know, that's another reason why we thought that the plastic bag tax was not a good tax, because that would have also been a regressive type of tax, a tax that would have, you know, affected lower-income people. And we thought it was not large enough to actually to encourage recycling, and people would end up paying it, but it would basically be a regressive tax.
Did you actually have this debate in the council? You said there was sentiment, but did the council look at the Albany bill, for example, and say, okay, maybe we should do the same thing at the city level, and anybody making 250 or above, whatever it is, that's, you know, that's a lot of money, should pay a little bit more right now in an income tax rather than do this, and actually have a council vote?
Well, we didn't have a vote, but we have regular caucuses, and it was very much a topic of a number of hours in our caucuses. And there was very strong sentiment for doing that type of tax. We were under the impression that that would have been a harder sell in Albany. Plus, the mayor resisted that very strongly, and we ended up adopting a negotiated budget, which had a lot of items that were priorities for the council, such as maintaining 6-day-a-week library service, restoring money for cultural institutions, saving the firehouses, which is a major priority, as well as eliminating some of the other cuts.
So last thing, how badly are tax revenues declining? I see that at the state level, and I think we may have the state controller DiNapoli here tomorrow, they are down about 35% in April and May compared to last year. That's a staggering drop. And they're declining even faster than the projections were in the recession. And they're holding their breath in Albany right now while counting the June receipts. Is the city going through something similar?
Well, you know, clearly the revenue is off, but I think we had actually guesstimated that it was going to be significantly down. I haven't seen the latest numbers, but, you know, they're not at the panic level at this point. I think we had kind of forecasted that the revenue would go down, and I think they're pretty much in line with what the forecasts were. But obviously, we have to reevaluate the revenue on an ongoing basis.
And we know you're running for controller. We'll do a candidate interview later in the summer.
Look forward to it.
But City Council Finance Committee Chairman David Weprin, thanks a lot for coming on and sharing your views about what's happening right now. Oh, just tell me real quick, do you think we're going to get a settlement to the stalemate in Albany today, any of these developments that I cited at the top?
Well, I think something has to happen. And, you know, the Senate is certainly getting the pressure. And the irony of it is there's all this pressure to withhold their pay, but they're actually spending more time in Albany, even though they're not really passing any bills than they've ever spent, which is kind of ironic, because I don't think most of the senators want to be in Albany any more than we want them to be in Albany not doing anything.
They call that pay for play, right? They're getting paid, but they're not working. They're playing.
Well, I don't know if they're playing. It's July. I don't know if Albany is the place. Maybe if you were talking August with Saratoga, it might be a little bit more attractive.
David Weprin, thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Chris Anderson, the editor of Wired, coming up next on his provocative new book called Free.